Where?
We don't even have a taxi. We don't even have a taxi, we don't have a retirement home, we have a senior citizen home, but not, not as a...
Oh, that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I might as well sit here though, out there. We don't get meals here.
Oh, you don't?
Oh, no, no, no. I would have a living room, a bedroom, a bathroom, and a kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody's cooking for you.
Oh.
I don't mind cooking a little bit, because basically you live where you are, you go out and have a meal if you want.
Yeah.
But, so, no, we have a senior citizen home, but no elevator.
No elevator?
No, no, no elevator. And if you're on the second floor, you have steps, and you go to the basement, you go on to the laundry.
Oh, yeah, do your laundry, yeah. What was the old guy's name? Forget about it, it'll come to you. He worked in the department, they were quite a character, they were a pair of characters.
Well, Sheila, we were great friends, we used to be staff parties together.
Oh, yeah. Well, she used to come to this Bill McDonald's all the time, because years, you know, like through art having the march and that, and when the Davies having the march, and that, you know, and, yeah.
Oh, isn't that good?
Sam. Or Sam John.
And, now, I thought she moved back to this area.
Well, I thought they went into the senior prison when they come off the track on the march, they didn't.
Well, maybe we were talking
Muirhead?
About...
No, what, Muirhead? Was she in Muirhead?
We were talking about the same line.
Oh, no.
No, it's a different quote of mine.
Yeah.
Well, because these people lived in Beaton. But
oh.
He was with Barton
Hodges. It's Sam. Some Ash? Ash?
It's a different Polkenhorn.
Oh, yeah.
Because this Polkenhorn that I'm talking about, they lived over around Beaton, but he was with the Captain Highway.
Oh, mm-hmm. He's got
and then they moved out to the west, but I think she came back to this area. I've lost track of it. So it's a different area. A different
outfit altogether.
Yeah, different Polkenhorn. That was a common name, though, along the number 9 highway.
Yeah. Polkenhorn, the team camp.
Yes.
Because Bill and John, I Hunter was Bill and John for a few years up north. Yeah. I guess there's only one of them left. Somebody said there's one left.
Is there
in New Market.
The kids of those names and
I laughed my dad. He was over working down in there somewhere. Need another man. I don't know what happened. So he went and somebody said, well, go and see team camp and see if he comes. So anyway, he went, no, I got it. Can't go. And Dad said, why? He says, I got 5 acres to dig. And Dad said, what do you mean you got 5 acres to dig? He said, I got to dig your 5 acres of ground by hand. Well, Dad said, look, if you come to work for me, I'll get somebody to plow it for you and work it up for you. And then, would you do that for me? And so Dad got him to work for him, and he got the thing plowed and everything up. The fellow thought that was just the berries. But they just come up from the old country from Holland. They didn't have anything. So.
Along there by where the Polkenhorns lived and so on, and the other name you mentioned, the Polkenhorns and
the... King Camp?
King Camp. Where they lived there. Why, that just changed along there.
Oh, yeah. And what was the other guy's name, the other two old outfits, the three that... they were a little bit further, and the one's still living in the house there. Just west of... of Glenville Pond there.
I don't see too well, but yesterday I said, what's that? I believe it said with a golf course.
Oh, yeah. That's on the team camp property, I think.
Is it?
I think that's. And with a crypt go through there.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it was beautiful. And she said it's a golf course.
Yeah.
And then we went along, and I thought maybe it was a motel or something there. Like
well, that's the clubhouse, they tell me.
Well,
but if that's a clubhouse, I thought it was a motel. Or a hotel.
Exactly what it was.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the clubhouse, if somebody was telling me. Oh, yeah, you get away. And Schomburg and that. Well, see, I always said to my father, well, why do you always work down in King? Well, he said, one thing about working in King, he says, when a man in King says he'll pay you, he says he'll pay you. And when he makes the deal to build the foundation for the barn and that, he said that it could be, well, I give you so much down in the following day, but he says his word is up. Up in West Quilby, he says you couldn't trust anybody up there. And the food's no good. They won't feed you up there. In King, he says they feed you.
Oh, barn raisers are quite a thing.
Yeah.
I was just lying to someone the other day. I was saying, yeah, My grandmother was a Bryson, and one of the Brysons, Bill Bryson, and my dad, I said, they looked so much alike, and they thought a lot of each other, they were cousins, of course. The only thing they'd argue about was which one would go higher on the
bench. Oh, yeah.
That was their argument. Which one was chosen captain?
Yeah, that was it.
Which one was chosen captain? That was dangerous work.
Oh, that was dangerous. And but you never heard of anybody getting hurt, did you?
Never heard.
No, you never heard. But then what got me was the sight. This one, Rutherford, barn that. And I came across this McDonald's had a bunch of pictures there of this outfit in front, all these tables set up, you know, to feed the men, and the house was in Bagley. Nobody knew where that place was, you couldn't think. So as soon as I drove in to take a picture that I was in not too many years ago and took a picture of the barn there, and as soon as I drove in and seen the house, I knew that was the best picture you were. And it was for the...
Was this how many years ago since you drove in?
I would say there. 3 years ago.
Oh, the farm is still operating, is it?
Well, the subdivision has come right up to the line fence, but theirs is left this way. And it was owned by some Italian, I think he is. But the house was rented out to somebody else. And they tore down the barn that goes to the south. Evidently, there was somebody who was in there and had goats, and the goats got some rare disease or something. So they had to tear down the south wing down.
But the daughter of the relatives is still living.
Is she?
Yes, she's in Woodbridge. She's Mrs. Clarence Green.
Oh.
Yes, we're in the relatives. And Louisa Rutherford is still living. And because I knew the Rutherfords, so I used to go to dances at Lone Alpha and all these parties too. And at Valor, you see, but I knew Valor's changed so much. But I saw Louisa about 3 years ago, and she lives in Woodbridge.
That was supposed to be, that was in 1929. And that was supposed to be Art Saint's 39th barn in those days. Well, he raised and worked on barns right up till 54, somewhere in around that time, 56. So I would just like to know how many he actually built in his lifetime. Because anytime I'm driving around through the country, you can pick his barns out right away. And I just take a picture of them, and I got the greatest pile of pictures of them.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. How do you go
and
do with them
now, though? Turn them all into libraries, and I'm
going for the library.
They all go into libraries.
You have a place for things now, you see. Yes. You have a family?
No, we never had no family.
No family.
I never got married until I was 38, so I don't know what happened, but...
we were married late in life, too, and because, I don't know, times weren't that good. If you had a good job, you just stayed with it. People didn't get married and work as much as they do now.
Well, I said I had too good of a time running around during wartime and that, and finally one time I forgot to say no, and that was...
it was the proper time for you to say yes. But, a person... But that is... I mean, when you don't have a family, as I say, I couldn't have... we have a chosen daughter, but that's probably me. I couldn't have a better daughter and son-in-law. So I'm really very blessed there. But they're not interested in my personal things like that.
No.
You can't expect, these people are interested, but they're not the kinds of people.
No.
However, I have over to this lady. She was a homicide, and they're great. And she is a great, she'll just carry on history. And as far as the Historical Society, she's really taken over.
As long as there's somebody to keep going. We just started this Historical Society in the last 3 or 4 years. And what we do, that we, some of the older people in town, we're going getting them, and we're either going to their homes and taping, you know, who your mother and father was, when you were born, you know, that kind of stuff and that. But anyway, it's surprising we have found out the children that was 13, 14, 15, it's really interesting in this old stuff. More so than somebody else say to me, I'll say something, I don't want to tell you.
It's interesting. I used to get an awful lot of calls from the kids at the high school would be doing some history at a certain time of the year, would be coming here and wanting to borrow a book, or because books were in the library, and I used to have them coming here. But it goes in spells, I will say that.
Yeah.
But our historical society has been going quite a while, in the 70s.
Oh, it's been going that long.
But the museum hasn't been going that long. But we can't afford a curator. You see, we can't afford a curator.
Yeah.
So it's all voluntary.
Well, yeah.
We've given them money, and I gave a lot to the museum, and spent quite a bit of money there. And as I say, I put that out in the pictures there, and so on. And we've done a lot for the museum, but they can't afford it, really, so it's
just been a
holdup.
Yeah. Well, all money is paid no matter where you go. I think times is pretty as bad now as what they were in the dirty 30s.
Yes, they were.
Mm-hmm.
But,
you know,
I come to
see,
I'm not
going
to
sit
here and
worry. No, I'm not going to either. I'm going to travel as long as I can travel, and that's it.
You're a lot younger, and I think you're foolish to worry. But I think, well, heck, I've worked hard all my life, and I'm not going to sit here and worry about the time. You just don't know what to... I don't know what to head for these children.
I don't know. Now, this Ted Ellison and Ken Ellison and Schomburg, Ted, he run the old school bus for years, and then he drove the Schomburg Creamery truck for years. But anyway, he would say, I'd like to hang around for 100 days to find out. And I said, look, if things are going down the drain as fast as they're going now, I said, I don't want to be around even in 10 years. But he didn't live too long, so...
That was Mary's husband, wasn't it?
Mary's husband and his brother.
Oh, that's an old man. We have an Ellison teaching class
here. Oh. The Ellisons are... Yeah, they come from being around... There is a Tom Ellison who lived in around Potna, somewhere back
in that area.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Now,
there's the name of some cemetery or school out there that Ted was always talking about.
Well, this Tom Ellison is a very old chap. The Ellisons lived up the Yates, too, between Mistong and Pottersville.
Oh, yeah.
The Ellisons on the farm there.
Did you know much about the Houghton family in Pottersville?
No.
I tell you what, we did the barn for Jack Archibald there.
Did you?
Yeah, that was back in 35, 36,
something
like that. Yeah. And that's when they, after they built the barn, then they had the dances for a few years, you know, so they got the harvest ends and barn dances to make it some extra money.
And
then the coffees, they always had barn dances too. Yeah. I don't remember coming this, too far south.
Well,
there.
I remember the trainers had a
barn. Oh, yeah, it's trainers, yeah.
Yes, and I don't know whether,
there was another fellow that used to do trucking for my dad. White was his name.
Ed White. Yes, oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
he'd be gone now too.
His his son-in-law was just buried last week, Kim Broad.
Oh, Broad, yeah.
Kim Broad.
Well, then Broad, yeah, I remember that being old. There's where my dad was there doing some work for Broad there, and at that time we were getting horses from Old Abe Early. Do you remember Old Abe? He was a Jew that had horses in Schomburg. Anyway, and Dad had this. He'd have maybe three or four horses. One day there was a western horse and they kicking up. And Dad was beating this horse this day, and this fellow was standing watching him finally come in. He said, then, what's your name? Who's in charge of it? Dad said, I am. He said, what's your name? So he told him, he said, I'm ticking. He said, he means lady for beating the horse. the broad there, just below Bell's Lake there. Yeah, I've seen that in the paper.
He and his wife, I taught at Wisconsin, but by golly, they'd be married 58 years this month. Because their golden wedding was in 84, and they asked me to speak to them at the party. And I taught for her in school. And so I made my speech, and I said to them, I said to Kim, I know you're going to give me permission for that, but I'm going to tell a story that I always heard, and you can tell me this is true. But the night the Shivareen drew, you gave him $10 and pennies. And he looked up and he said, that was pretty, I always heard that.
Well, there was another broad, I think, that built all them shacks just across from the church there, Blue Bells Lake there.
There were two or three broad boys.
And then one of them went to Perry South.
Oh,
yeah. And he was up in India. And when we had the packing plant, United Farms had the packing plant on number 9 highway there on the Mars, he came in there two or three times and picking up things. As soon as he see me, he says, "I don't know who you are," but he says, "You're related to the saint somewhere." He says, "You're a saint."
Yeah, well, you know, the family, they were all gone. I often think about Chip's garden, you know, his name.
Or Chip for Rocky.
Rocky, yes.
Yeah.
I thought Gary and Chip.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy was
Well, Chip married a first cousin of mine, Colin. She was a Colin.
They were down at our farm one time. I wasn't well, and I was teaching chemistry, and we had to supply each other. They came down to see me one time. I wasn't well. The mother were nice, but they were two nice kids. And Gary and Sharon. And by golly, one day, several years ago, the teacher over here at one of the schools in Cambridge, teaching special education, he called me and said, "Would you come over and talk to my history class?" And I said, "Oh, I think I'll give it up." But I got this Doris Horning to go, and she doesn't drive, so I said, "I'll drive you if you talk to him." So anyway, but I was on talking to him. This kid says to me, "I think you taught my dad." I looked at him and I thought, "Oh, lucky I had." He said, "Did you know Gary Ruffy?"
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in the special ed, not special ed, but advanced ed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not special ed, but the advanced ed education.
They were an old fan. You know, the Ruffies and...
Yeah, well, that's an old
fan. Yeah, Horlings and... that's where that
Audrey,
book there...
Audrey and George. I know Audrey and George.
Oh, yeah. There. Yeah.
Audrey and I taught together at Kennedy. She supplied. Now she, well, then one time I was off for 3 months and she took my place. And when I was going to retire, when I told the principal, I was trying to get Audrey, but she did not take from the job. Oh no, Audrey and George, we were always playing together. And I haven't seen that for a long time.
Big girl, I think. I think she's in the Bradford Library, and she had this copy of this book here that she's got here.
Was she a Horning?
Yeah, she was Bill Horning's daughter, she was. And anyway, she's in the Library in Bradford, very, very nice girl she is. Mm-hmm. And so I said, "Do you mind if I could borrow it?" She says, "Why?" I said, "Well, I'm roaming around King all the time." I said, "And I just wanted to have it when I'm driving the roads that I get out." So anyway, I had it for about 6 months and finally she says, "Are you finished with that book yet?" And I said, "No." "Well, why?" And she said, "Well, I got somebody here in the family really wants to read up on it." But she says, "I understand that they're for sale in the King Township, Nobleton there, East Nobleton." And I said, "Well, are you sure?" She says, "Well, I think so." So anyway, I phoned up. Yeah, they had a few copies left. So when they heard I was coming, I wound up by getting 10 copies. The woman says, "Well, we're getting pretty near the end." So.
I often wonder, I have not talked to anybody out there. I haven't talked to anybody out there for a year to a year, anyway. Well, I've known maybe not a year, because I went to get one to give to a person, but I did for this month before, and I paid for it. Of course, the girl, the escort, So the next time I went to get another one to give to somebody, Mr. Duncan came along, and I just paid for the book. He says, "What are you doing paying for the book?" Well, I said, "After all, I'm on a book." He said, "You're not going to pay for it." So anyway, I laughed. I said, "Well, I shouldn't have." But no, it was out of print for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I felt badly. People were wrong. I felt badly. All my work was gone, you see. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. So anyway, my husband wasn't very well. And you know, carting around the stores wasn't easy to step up.
No.
And 40% discount through the stores there. And you know, take 40% off, there isn't that much property. And if you want to make money, don't write a book. Don't make money.
I know you don't have anything to do with history and you won't make no money.
Well, but printing a book is that Pierre Burton does all right.
Oh, yeah, he does all right, yeah.
But anyway, however, I've enjoyed it. And anyway, so I said, "Well, I don't know." And I didn't know what to do. And people were begging for it. The township kept saying, why don't you get more of those books? So the chap in town, University of Toronto Press, was a good friend of mine, and he would do a lot of business for me. So I said to him, come down and I'd like to talk. So I signed up for 1,000 books. And it was going to cost me around $7 a piece. The price had gone up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
and I
sure.
said, well, I won't sell them for more than 10. I will not ask anybody for more than $10 for that green book. And so I figured that 40% off, I was going to give it to the store for $6.
Oh, yeah.
There wasn't much money in it.
Yeah.
If I paid $7 for the book,
then I'd sell it for $6.
Sell it for $6. So, but anyway, I hadn't got that figured out yet. But that night, so I signed up. And in the morning, my husband said to me, do you think you made a mistake? I said, I know darn well I did. He said, I know it. So I called the chap about the University of Toronto Press. I said, John, I've changed my mind. He said, you're wise. He said, your health's more important than the book. And he said, just let it go. I said, I didn't realize. So anyway, I went, well, it's all over. But I knew the township kept asking. And I did. So they got word of it. So they came and asked me about our money for the copyright. I was ready for it because I knew, I thought it was going to happen. So I thought, well, I let them wait a little while, and I said, well, I'll tell you right now, I said, I'm not going to dominate it. I said, you can have the copyright. So they were just,
oh, yeah.
couldn't find it. Yeah. But you know, I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
But it's good. So I don't know how they came out with it.
I don't know, there wasn't many copies left when I was there, and that was, well, that was a mystery. Was it this spring? No, it was this spring.
So, yeah. I had a real estate man here a while ago, and he wanted the brown book like you did. And but so he said he went over and bought 10 or 15 and got them back here for the daughter back. And he bought 10 or 15, so they must have got some area. And I don't know.
But the evidence, there's none of these left, because that's why I got the girl from the phone to Schomburg Library, and then she was the one that got it hooked up with you then. But there was a...
It's not on the market.
No. This book was in... What's in there? Snowball. There used to be a little bookstore in Snowball. And when I got there, I'm sorry, they're all sold out. I thought, what am I going to do now? Then they're gone. Well, then when they come back in on the second one, then I was in there.
Well,
I got two copies.
There was only one printing. Sandra Silcox kept getting more and more.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, the Sable Gallery. She kept getting more and more. And when she went to Schomburg, she got, she sold an awful lot. And they did go well. And, but however, no, I have never had them reproduced, and I might have opened this record. And so I have inquired because I had people saying, oh, well, could I give them a start, you know, the copyright and all this stuff. I don't think I'll bother. But, this photostatic business is something.
It is something.
Especially
with this newspaper stuff, because it all gets very, very brittle and fades out and that. But once you get a photostatic copy, then you're...
Well, I'm going to tell you that the books the township are selling are photostatic copies. Those books that you bought from the township are photostatic.
Oh, they're all photostatic.
And I'm going to tell you, I like them better than the original.
Oh, well, it looks exactly the same as that book right there.
Yeah, yes, I know. But I think that's a photostatic copy it'll tell you in here. This is an original book. I'm going to show you the picture. The only difference is the picture's on the outside cover. The only difference is they couldn't focus that bad. This is the one with the township. What is that?
Well, that's the one. I'm sure that was the one I thought.
Well, maybe.
Yeah,
you look at that one.
You
open the...
This is
Now that's not the same picture.
No, it's not the same picture. No.
We had to get another picture. But one picture was duplicated in the book, so I said people gave the picture. But it'll tell you right there. There's the one that comes with.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, published by the municipality of Calgary.
Now, is that the original one you have there?
Yeah, published by the author.
You look at the pictures, and you look at the print, and I think it's better, the photostat copy. I really do. And the only problem I have is the pages don't stay in.
Oh no, I see what you mean.
Yeah. But as far, but that's the printer's fault.
Yeah, that's the printer's
fault.
But
as far as the printing, I think the printing and the pictures.
Yeah, it is. The printing is better.
I think the printing's better, and I think the pictures are better. So no doubt, if I had been a little bit younger, I would have had this one done.
Yeah. And that one there, in this Lloydtown, because I used to, when I was, before the war, I used to be around Lloydtown a lot. And I went with different girls, the McGuire's, I went with Lorna McGuire, she just died here in Arizona, in Arizona. And then the guy with the old Sam Negro was in behind in the back alley, he bootlegged a bit. But no, I thought that was
the one. The photostat copy, it's wonderful what they do with the photostat.
Isn't it? It is.
Now that, the one the township has, because, you see, Hunter Rose did my first book. Well, they went into bankruptcy.
Oh.
Oh yeah, they went into receivership. He did the first book. And and they did the church book for me too. And so I heard that through the University of Toronto Press, I have friends there, and they told me, they said, you know, I think we think Hunter Rose, now, the University of Toronto Press friends who helped me a lot, but they didn't print books, they of just local areas, it was more of the whole country, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, Canada, so on. And they got, but Hunter Rose did a lot of printing for them. So I, through them, I got heard there was a chance of Hunter Rose going into receivership. So the chap who did the church book for me, I called him and, oh, no danger, he's been in business so many years, and no danger of us going into receivership and all this, filling the receivership in 2 weeks.
And didn't that make you mad?
He said, well, I said, well, I want to make, I've heard this from the University of Toronto Press too, and they, so finally, outcome it was, apparently he's in the Financial Post and was in the Star one night. You had to get your film within a certain day, 2 days, I think it was. But I said to him, he said, well, if you're worried about it, he said that you want your film, but you know, it has to be kept at a certain temperature, it has to be this and that, and all of this. Well, what was I going to
do? Yeah.
So what was I going to do with it? And by the time I didn't know what I wanted and where I could take it, well, they had gone.
Oh.
Everything was gone. Except the University of Toronto Press, they have a lot of films over there at Hunter Rose, and other companies from Toronto had too. And so they said, they told me that they were going to receive it. They said, well, we love our film. Well, we want them to come and get it because it's going to be made. So they went there. So they were going to take it to court. They came to the film. But I was a small, you know, small person. I didn't recognize it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
No, but the big companies, they went over and had to cut up their own films and get them out. But the Hunter Rose went into the receivership. So that's why they didn't, I couldn't get the second book yet. But there's two friends here.
Yeah. Well, I got a car. Art Saint's son, Keith Saint, he worked for University Press here on... Steele's Avenue, west of that, and he worked there. And every once in a while, the book will show up in the back, random, and name it, here's a book I thought you'd be interested in, something to do with building or something, this and that and the other thing, and as soon as I see it, and it's got, he doesn't sign the name or nothing to it, and the interest in building and that, and I know, well, it's Keith, but it's one that, he's a terrific reader. His father was a terrific reader.
This was the University of Toronto Press?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Dr. John Ray, who was a director.
That book for me?
That's our church book. And Dr. John Ray was head of the University of Toronto Press for 15 years. His assistant was, so I spoke at King Factor, and that's what started me, well, kids started when I retired to go with, and I had no more idea of writing a book. My mother always wrote my compositions for me in high school, and I know I'm writing a book, I didn't fly, and but the kids would say, what do you do? And I said, well, oh, I know you just oh, you're writing a book. Well, this off, they kept telling me this, I know you know that. Anyway, I spoke with King Bathroom one day, and so the next day I had a call, and he said, Dr. John, I want to speak to you. And so I said, I don't know. Well, he said, you have to call him. So I called him. He said, I want to come see you. He's got Ellen Hammond, his assistant director. Let me do a writing book. But he said, now write on one thing only. because Pat Hart wrote that book up in my yard, and it took her 13 years to write it, before she got ready to publish it.
Oh, yeah.
And he knew it by agent, couldn't do that.
Yeah.
He said, write on one subject, travel, communication, or roads, or two different subjects. And so I think I don't get a subject. He gave me, so after he left, I didn't know what to do. So I was thinking, you know, we get people here first. So I called him and I said, I can get the subject here first. That was a good idea. So I dropped a plan. Okay. So then from then on, but I had a plan to just bring the subject here. So that's the first history we did it in the world.
When you mentioned the Harmons there, you see the Harmons come in on both sides of our, on the McMain side of the family, the Harmons come in. The Harmons come in on the Saint side of the family. So then, through, this girl got in touch with me from out west. She's a new related to the Harmons. The Harmons that had the property were serving Grubwood. That's the Harmons she related to, the older. And so anyway, she was compiling a book. So I was sending her a little here and a little there, you know, and that. So finally one day I knocked on the door and it was her at the door. So she says, have you got any pictures? And I said, yes, right. I got all the pictures. And she just stood right there and she took them up. Well, then we got the book, and the book is about, there's two books in the book, that's it now, and I just got them back. I think they cost something
like... Is this about the Harmon family?
The Harmon family.
No, Leonard Harmon.
That's right, he's one.
Well, he was, I know that Leonard
well, then she's
and I came back and forth. In fact, I think I have some notes down here that Leonard, about the Harmon family, Leonard Harmon sent to me about the Harmon family, which wasn't very close to me, you know, but I think I have it. But you know where Leonard Harmon lived then, on the second, mile and a quarter above the King Road, on Bloomington side road, and on the northeast corner. Was where Leonard Harmon's probably
coming. Women inside going to the northeast corner? Yeah, all right.
Baptist.
Yeah, Baptist, yeah.
That's where that plot came from.
Oh.
Because my great-grandfather apparently came there and his connection. You know, and I wonder what that is. I have to put that in. But my dad, every time he passed that place, he said, well, that's where that grandfather
well,
plot
the plot came
from. Yes. But Leonard Harmon and I, we listened here and we talked a lot a few years ago. But just, he was very interested in history, and that's the same Harmon.
That, yeah.
I think
because we had a couple of reunions, and Leonard was there.
Yes.
And they had two reunions, and I'd been to both of them.
I kind of think, too, there's some more connection. When you say that word, the name, was she from the West?
Yeah, she's from the West, yeah. S-B-E-D-A-H-L or something.
Is that right?
And she's gone to, she's really gone to the heavy. And she's got her own computer set up now, and she's been to Salt Lake City, and she's gone back on his side, she's gone back to Denmark or Norway or somewhere back in there where they came from, and oh, she's on a trip from all the way
up. This computer, you know, is so different. When I did that first book, good God, I drove this down to Thomas three and four times over every area. But that's cavalry. Now they say computer, oh yeah, they can add this, and they can add
yeah,
that.
They can take it out.
Yeah, I couldn't.
No, that's right. That's what I do. Well, why don't you get a computer? Well, at my age and to try even, I couldn't even work a typewriter, so and your fingers get so stiff, too.
But there weren't computers then.
No, there was nothing.
I didn't have computers or there weren't anything like that. I typed, but slow typer. I wanted a typist, but I did it. And, I'll bet I did that
Kennedy
5 times.
I wouldn't know. I've had to do one street in Bradford, like there's one John Street, we call it Frenchtown. Back years ago in the lumbering days and that, there was a one place there was Frenchtown, and I did that. You know, I wrote that out longhand, I think I wrote it out 5 times, I still don't think it's right.
Somebody that give you something more, well, it had to fit in there.
Yeah.
Well, the final report for me is...
Or something else to come to your head, then...
But somebody tell me something else. Well, I had to set the final copy to the Toronto. And, well, I had to tear everything apart and put it in there. People say, oh, God. And I have a cousin out west now in Vancouver. She wrote the Wells family, the Wells. And she's 91. Now, oh, she's 93 now, I guess. She's 91 when she finished the book. But she said, oh, well, if you sent me some pictures, I could put them in the book. I said, I thought your book was ready. Oh, well, with the computer, I'll just put pictures in. I said, oh,
Now there's a picture right there, that picture of the mark.
Uh-huh.
There's some of the colleges in there.
I see.
And he's in the guy running book. When I was a kid then, I used to ride up the river with him, and I'd have, you know, the kids and that, and the mother get out of your hair, you go with them calling for the day, he looked after that. But horses in those days, I don't know whether you ever knew it or not, they had what they call a booster. Did you ever hear of that?
No, I didn't.
It's a wooden thing, boot, just like an ordinary boot.
Yeah.
And it's a piece of wood, about like this square, and then over the front there's a steel, and the back there's a piece of leather that went on hooked at the back of the shoe, and they, you know, the horse hooked on that. And that horse would never go off of that scow onto the marsh until you put that boot on the back feet. Just in the back feet, because somebody said, why didn't they put it on the front? Well, the horse actually doesn't pull much of the front feet, it's always in the back feet. And that was it. So I just made up one here just lately. And I just thought I could have brought it down and showed you what it looked like. And come to find out, a guy was in here not too long ago, and he says, what do you do with that thing? I'm like, yeah, I just made that up. Huh? What do you know about it? Well, I'm coming. He says, you know where that came from? And I said, no, where'd it come from? New Brunswick. Years ago, they had marks here in New Brunswick, and I guess these Frenchmen that come up from down there, they brought it up with them. Like, you know.
You hadn't an original to go by or anything?
No, I've just been in my head.
Yeah. Well, yes, well, that's it. I think I have seen a picture of that somewhere. I had something here about the Holland Marsh. And you see the Holland Marsh, I didn't know.
Well, you see, then being with my dad and that, and around as a kid in the marsh, and that hauling tamarack off the marsh, or one thing or another like that. But there's one picture in here I want to ask you, because I've taken a photostatic copy of it, and I'm going to send it to Marie. On a Harmon house here, a Harmon built a house here. In this book here.
I was wondering
how he's still living. Well, as far as I know, he is, but now I really don't know.
His wife taught school
at Templesville. Oh, yeah, Templesville, yeah. I said something to somebody one day about Templesville. Where's Templesville? And I told him, are you sure? And I said, yep, it's Templesville. Why did they ever get that name? I said, don't ask me,
I'll
get that.
Every other corner had a hotel on it.
Well, that's what
it is. And the Loves, you know, lived there, and they were great tenants, people, not everybody else around there, and they didn't have a hotel there, so that got cameras go up and do it. It was called Love's Corners to start with.
Yeah, I came across that. I got a good friend there, and he's a heck of a good partner. Him and I used to work together. There were some pictures of the old Lloydtown Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And,
do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. That's what I said they bootlegged there before,
yeah,
before the war.
Yeah. I think
mine
had
a Don Humble,
but the Hall of Marsh.
Yeah. And then I get calls, you know, about the Hall of Marsh, because...
Did I give you the Don Humble about the Hall of Marsh?
There you go, yeah.
The Hall of Marsh. No
pictures in that. Oh, I don't know. I didn't even look in there.
I don't know.
Maybe some of that other stuff that you use on the market.
There's just one picture left there. I guess the other ones are all over the museum, I guess. This is the only one that is it's the opening of the official Anthony Valley Public School. This is the United
See, there's the picture that I'm going to send to Marie. I've got a 40-cent copy of that picture there. Because I just happened to read there that it was built by a hermit.
Well, and I know that house when it's still
there. Rafferty's Corners, and
yes.
That's Templesville.
No, that's Dufferin. The Fountain Restaurant. Right over here, corner of the third.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Henry Bride, that NASA's headed. And then the Fergusons lived there, Alice Ferguson and his brother. And Harry McBride bought it, and he and his wife ran the Fountain Restaurant for a long time, for a while. And that house still stood there. And now I'm not sure just who lived there. But anyway, I know, well, the Fergusons, yes. Well, then Harry McBride bought it, and He was gone when he lived there now. His wife lived there, but, and that house is still standing.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah,
yeah, it's still standing. And when you see, now when you, just go out here to Dublin.
Yeah,
and there's
I'm going back up that way.
There's a fountain restaurant right there. But just behind it, you'll see the White House.
Oh.
That's it.
That's it, eh?
Yes. And Mary Osborne is not, oh, she's a wonderful person, and so is Bill Osborne. Now, she was a Harry McBride's daughter, and her mother and father, though, ran that restaurant, bought that property. And she would be so pleased to show you that house, because she's just that type. You've been here. They're wonderful friends.
There's what I got a kick out of, too, that old train that went into, because I can remember, there was an old fella, Ogilvy of Bradford, and they did the jitney work, as we call it, with the horse and that, and then they going up in the taxi business and that, and they used to go down and pick up people from the metropolitan. But what he was telling me, that Gordon was telling me, that there was a fella by the name of Pringle, he had the first Dominion store there was in Bradford, and he had that, and he said they used to get on the train in Bradford, go down to Oak Ridge, get on the train at Oak Ridge, and go over to Schaumburg, play poker all night, get out the train out in the morning, come back, we're out and make the circle back, get him, come back to Bradford, and go to work the next day, play poker all night. Now, this Pringle, and I'm trying to find out where he came from, but nobody seems to know what I'm talking about, because...
I have a friend that I was out for lunch with up at the man the other day, up at the doorstep, and she was telling me she up in Bristol or someplace, I think, she found a book.
But
Schaumburg,
Holy God,
I said, would I ever love
to read that thing?
she said, I just picked it up in this place in New York. It was in her she's up by Bristol, and she said, I found it just then for sale. So she says, I bought it. She said, I'll bring it in. It's all about the Schaumburg Railway.
Holy crap, I'd like to. Because it was steam and then it went electric, right?
Well, I have the whole story of the Schaumburg Royal Railway written by Mrs. Mills. The Mills lived up the third there, you know.
Yeah.
And by Mrs. Mills. And the son gave me his mother's story of it, paper. I have the story of the... Yes, I have the story of that. Paper copy of it.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get a full story copy of that sometime. I'll tell you what to do, I'll get back to you again sometime. We'll have another visit.
I was thinking that was written up someplace, but maybe it isn't.
I don't know.
I didn't write it written up in my book.
There's another fellow there that I see him up north. He's got his mind gone up. Ashes, do you ever remember the Ashes? They were up on below the snowball there.
Well, not Merlin Ash.
His name is Garnet, and he had
Well, I know, yeah, but that's the same family.
Yeah.
Garnet and Merlin. Now, Garnet was older. Merlin, I taught Merlin at Eversley. I taught for 12 years. The Ashes were the north. Merlin came to school. Garnet was a little older.
Yeah.
I knew Garnet's first wife. She died, and she was a
Well, maybe there is a little bit in there.
But I really get that for you in a minute, I think I know. This barn raising is here. Who the barn raising is there?
I didn't recognize that. Well, this one here that I was telling you about, the Rutherford one, the fellow right up in the peak of the barn, he was Mac Campbell, which was, he worked with our team, and he was the thing, because as soon as they got this thing, the guy said, well, there he is. There's Mac. There's my dad. That's it. Because he heard his dad talking about this here outfit. And right up in the very, as you said, the guy that goes the highest, that's where he was.
Yeah.
When they raised it, he rode up with it and this, that, and the other. He was like a jackrabbit, that guy was.
I think that was Mac Campbell. There was the Arsenal barn raising and the Goodfellow barn raising there in this book.
Oh, yeah.
But I know that that wasn't me, because I guess maybe I just put it in there for a picture. But I know in this book, there's the Goodfellow barn raising, south of Milton, and there was the one, but those are old pictures.
Yeah, they're very, very old.
Yeah.
especially that one with the head shake. Well, that was a piece of gold, and that settled down. I slept there right that night because I had been bugging me. Where can I get a picture? And they're bugging
me. You know, I went down